week's podcast is sponsored by DW Plumbing and Heating, a locally based plumbing and heating company with over 15 years experience, service in the Midlands area. Experts in fault finding with both oil and gas heating, specialising in complete bathroom refurbishments and MCZ wood pellet stoves. Find us on Facebook or call Dean on 086-3700-600. Looking for that personal gift? Why not give a customised hamper from Irish Hamper Surprises? We create breakfast hampers with locally sourced products. Chocolate and mixed hampers for men, women, boys, girls, grandparents and more. Lovely teacher's mugs and of course the Late Late Toy Show treat boxes. For more personalised options, contact Nolene on 086-073-2251 or find us on Facebook at Irish Hamper Surprises.
Broadcasting live from the little town of Clara, County Offaly, it's What's the Story with Lloyd Bracken. Get in touch today through all our social channels and have your say. Oh, and thanks for listening. Now it's over to you, Lloyd. What's the story?
Everybody, you're very welcome to another episode of What's the Story. Hope you're all in flying form out there this week and that you had a good week. Thank you very much for everybody for the comments on the Catch Buckley podcast. It was a nice, open and honest and a bit of crack with Catch. So thank you very much for coming in. This week, it's all about Christmas. Now I know it's not Christmas yet, but the Christmas lights will be on very soon in Clara, we hope, to bring a little bit of a cheer around the town. It's a bit of a tough year. So we're going to talk to some of the committee members on the Clara Christmas Lights Committee to see what it takes to get them all up and running. Patricia Handy, thank you very much for joining me on the podcast today.
Okay. Glad to be here and glad to get the opportunity to put some words of wisdom out there about the Christmas lights.
Well, tell me firstly a little bit about your role on the Clara Christmas Lights Committee.
I suppose I've been on the committee since it started back in, January 10, I think, when we first got together. And my background is finance and accounting, so unfortunately I got the role of doing just that, looking after the money, money coming in and money coming out and reporting on that. So that's my role, really.
Well, but every committee, they survive on the generosity of the public. And this year is very different. Around this time, you would be doing door-to-door raising funds. Yeah. Was that well supported in years gone by?
Always such a great reception when you go around door to door. You know, people are nearly expecting you to call. They have their money ready to go, you know, waiting for you. Unfortunately, as you said, this year we can't do that because of COVID-19. So once again, we're relying on the generosity of Clara people. But this time we're having to go with GoFundMe, you know, so it's not quite as personal, which is unfortunate because it's nice to go walk around and have the chats and talk with people and whatever. But
okay, so tell us a little bit about the GoFundMe fundraiser then.
Well, we started it just 2 weeks ago. It was discussed before to try and get the GoFundMe started for expats and things like that and people outside the town that we don't get to on a door-to-door basis, but we never really got it off the ground, whereas this year we had no choice, so we stuck with it until we got it ready, got it working. So far, fantastic response to it. We're halfway towards our target, which is brilliant, and we're delighted and thank everybody for their contributions so far.
Okay, so you're halfway towards your €5,000 needed. Where does the money go towards then, Patricia?
Okay, well, of course, needless to say, there's electricity bills. And like your home, you've got standing charges and they occur all year round. We've tried various combinations over the years, turning off the meters to save standing charges and then start them up again just before you go, before you switch on the lights and whatever. But problems with that mean that you have to get the ESP out and you have to get the whole system certified again and whatever. So this year, with the help of Tony Kelly there in the town, we managed to secure a good deal whereby we left the meters running all through the year. And it worked out. It's going to work out, hopefully, anyway, cheaper than what they call de-energizing and then re-energizing. So there's a lot of money goes on electricity, needless to say. Over the years, that's worked out at the guts of $3,000 in electricity bills. Some years more than others, depending on what's going on. Then you have insurance, needless to say. That's all. That also takes a chunk out of any collections that we make. And then also you would have just money for the upkeep of the lights themselves. So replacing bulbs, bulbs break just and bulbs blow just the same as you do in your house. So they have to be replaced. It's outdoors, so it's getting a battering. The equipment is getting a battering from the weather, from unfortunately from people as well. Over time, we've had damage done to the tree on a couple of occasions, which is very unfortunate. And things like that have to be replaced, repaired. That costs money also. So they're really the bulk of our costs.
So is there any government support or council support in for the committee?
Yeah, we do avail of a wee grant that we get from Offaly County Council. And once again, that's much appreciated. It's not huge. You know, we hear stories then about other towns getting so much more than we do. But sure, what can you do? You know, we apply for it, we get an allocation, and then we call it down.
Are businesses in Clara still keen to support the fund?
Businesses, the same way as people, fantastic to support us over the years. Some businesses support us in terms of, you know, donating the hampers and things that we've used for the raffle in previous years. And then others by, you know, contributing financially. Any donation is much appreciated from both businesses and the private person. It's all great. But yes, the businesses in the past have been great. This year, it's a slight bit different because we haven't gone out yet to the businesses. So we just, this will be a great opportunity really for us to inform the businesses of the GoFundMe page. Like Facebook is great, but not everybody is on Facebook. So, you know, getting the word out there that the GoFundMe is there, it's live. And we see who contributes in terms of, you know, if it's a business or a private person. So, you know, the businesses can avail of that support, that way of supporting us also.
And this year, Patricia, we all need a little bit of extra light than most years.
Oh, boy. Absolutely. A hell of a lot more than other years.
So, Patricia, if we could just send out an appeal to the people of Clara and beyond, maybe our expats in America and United Arab Emirates and all over the world, that they go on to GoFundMe and support this great cause and get Clara lit up.
Absolutely. You can find the link on our Facebook page. But I'm sure if you go on to the GoFundMe page as well, you'll be able to find Clara Christmas Lights fundraiser, and every penny is much appreciated.
Patricia Handy, thank you very much for joining me on the podcast. Okay. And wish you best of luck with
Thanks,
the Clara Christmas
Lloyd.
Lights.
And thank you for the opportunity, and happy Christmas, everybody.
So there you go, that's the business side of the Clara Christmas Lights Committee. Let's see what it's like to get all these lights up and then down. So Mick Gavin, it would be safe to say you and your team have the toughest job, let alone dealing with the town traffic, but also the weather. Do you have to get all these lights up? Where do you start?
Where do we start, Lloyd? Is right. I suppose where we finished off earlier on in the year in February, we come up with a system for taking down the lights that when we store them away, then they're nearly ready to go again the same year in December, in November when we start putting them up. We use a big room up in the convent there, and I'd have to thank the GA Club there for that, for allowing us to use the convent there for storage. Like, that's a big plus to us. And then if we need to test lights or anything, we can roll them down along the corridors up there, plenty of room, and put in bulbs or take out bulbs and test them before we start. But usually then we the girls pick a date there, usually around when the Family Resource Centre have their Christmas party for the kids. We might work for their date of having the big switch on in the square, you know.
Okay, so is there's a bit of work to be done before that though, isn't there?
There's always work to be done, Lyde. The bills to be paid in February and March, you got to break them maybe over the summer. But once Halloween is out of the way, we kind of start rumbling, you know. Maybe even before Halloween, we could be started, you know. There was often years when the boys were putting out the Halloween decorations and we were going into the convent to test lights and get stuff ready, you know. So it can be all go for a while, you know.
Right, so whereabouts in town do you start then? Where is your go-to area?
Well, just before I move on in that live, when I thank the GA there, I'd like to thank Dermot Kinney and his late uncle Brendan as well, because they gave us the shed there opposite Rabbit's Hardware to store the Christmas tree, which was a big plus for us because it's a big Christmas tree, and getting somewhere to store it was a problem for years. But thanks to Dermot there, he's always willing to oblige us, you know, so it's great that way. And where we start? We start fighting, I suppose, first of where we're going to start. No, we'll start at the parochial hall usually, and we have a couple of signs that we put up on the parochial hall, and then we start running the lights up the town, across the roads and on by the GA and on to the famous bridge, as Tommy Tiernan says, goes to nowhere. We get our signs up on that and we get the tree lit up on that. That's a new addition we got in the last few years there. And basically running across the road and over and back, and we'll do so many hours in the night, like, and there's only so much you can do. And
but do I have many helping you out on the team?
We kind of have a crew of about between 4 and 6. But this leads me on to what's been said on your programmes there. The people at Lara, all you have to do, Lyde, is ask. Volunteers. Whether it's lads from the GA club, the soccer club, the local fire brigade, cousins, friends, anyone that's knocking around. And even, like, all you have to do is tell the boys in the fire brigade there's a cup of tea and they'll come down, you know. We can't have too many lads down on certain nights because you're just putting them up with a cherry picker across the road. You don't want fellas standing around in the cold. But when there's a lot of big nights to be done, when there's lights to go up and down either side of the street, you can do them with ladders. We call in a few volunteers. They mightn't know it yet, but they'll be volunteering themselves.
So what are the biggest challenges for you then every year? Is it traffic or weather? What is it?
To be fair, with traffic, we never have a problem or an issue with anyone. To see the cherry picker there, and again, I'm after mentioning it twice, Celsus Doolin and Jimmy Heiney there, Celsus cherry picker, and Jimmy Heiney's driving it. And I'm with Jimmy there for the last 6 years, and he hasn't with it yet. Anyway, he might try and run me over now and again. But no problem with traffic. You'll get another beep now and again, and it's usually a wave to say, well done, you know. The biggest drawback, we don't mind the cold, we don't mind the wind, the rain can be the problem, you know. That can be it's hard to be out working in the rain, but like, if we have a deadline to go to, we'll try and work to that. And if it has to be done, it has to be done.
So is there always a bit of panic near the end then, that if you're not going to be finished or not?
There's always panic. First to say to me, well, they're the calmest man in the place, but she only knew me on the inside, she would be different.
But you must get great satisfaction driving down through the town and knowing all the work that has involved to get the place looking lovely.
Ah, it does. And when you hear the comments, like, and not just from the people at Lara, but I've been talking to people involved, and as I say, I don't go around talking to other towns about their Christmas lights around, but you do hear, you bump into an odd person here and there, and they'll tell you about the great display of lights in Clara. And I think that's just typical of Clara people, like, when we come about doing something, we put our shoulders to the wheel and we get stuck in and doing it, you know. And we like to do it well. That's just in general in Clara. It's not just the Christmas lights. It's everything we do in the town.
That's a fact, yeah. I don't think people realise how much work does go into putting up the lights every year. So it's important people support it any way they can, because without the lights, it'd be a bit dull, yeah. Pardon the pun.
Oh, absolutely. And look, we were in a bit of bother there a year or two ago where we had trouble with our fuse boards. And again, mentioning Plantire out the Tullamore Road there, stepped in, and within a week, there was three or four electricians down working in the town to get everything up and running. And to be fair, what's there now is all nearly brand new. It is all brand new. And over the last number of years, we've been working on a 5-year plan to, like, a lot of the wiring harness and things had got damaged and needed replacing. The weather took its toll on them. And then we had the old glass bulbs, and then they just replaced the LED bulbs. And that's kind of a big expense at the moment, putting out the LED bulbs, but you're saving on the electricity, you know. So 60-watt bulb going across the road is now a 1-watt.
Did anybody ever count the amount of lights it takes to light up Clara?
Would you believe, though, that was a question that nobody ever asked me. But I just roughly made up a list, the amount of cable that we do put up, and I'm estimating that at about 3,500 meters. Wow. It could be more, could be a bit less. And if you want to say there's a bulb nearly every half meter, you can do the maths on that yourself. Yeah.
So if there's anybody out there good at maths, let us know.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like the work and dedication and the amount of cable you're after mentioning there and help from electricians and everything, it really is, you're the head man, but it's a team approach.
No, I'm not the head man. Now, there's 4 or 5 of us. We have a very small committee and I'm just one of the volunteers. Like, I suppose people do come to me, what goes where, what goes there, and we try and, just from experience, try and help them out and show them what goes where and get head up and running. But like, as I said, like, we're only continuing on from the great committees all down through the years. I'm not going to name names because they know who they are. They've done all the donkey work. We're just putting them up and keeping them lit and taking them down and storing them away. You know, the lights belong to the people of Clara. They're not my lights or the committee's lights. They belong to all the people who pay for them and pay the bills at the end of the year, and that's it.
So you mentioned at the start taking the lights down. When did they start coming down then, in January?
Oh, Lord. we do try and, well, maybe this year now we might get them on a bit sooner with the year we're after having with COVID and everything. Yeah. We might leave them on, usually the end of Christmas, but we might leave them on for a week or two and they'll be switched off then. And sure, look, fellas, they'll be lying up after Christmas, dramatic, to get going again. And half the time they're taking them down as it is, opposed to putting them up, usually, you know, and get them stored away again.
If it's anything like our Christmas decorations in the house there, they get shoved into a box and we worry about it here later.
That's it. No, we try to tidy up all that because stuff was getting mixed up and cables been getting mixed up, which lights go where. But we've it all sorted out that way, you know. So we have, say, if you give you an example, if a set of lights goes across the road from Christy Cowan's to Jill's kitchen, they're put in a turf bag light, if you build, want to believe it, and the name is written with a marker, and they're the same lights that go up across the road the following year. And you're not rooting and sorting out in the dark, you know what you're doing, and it's a big help. Yeah,
you've a great system, Mick Gavin. Thanks very much for all your work on the team, and thanks for joining me on
no
the
problem, Lloyd. And you keep up the good work with the podcast because it's going down the tree with everybody and Clara, and it's fantastic.
We'll try and keep the lights on everywhere.
The lights will be going up in Clara, Lloyd. Whether it's COVID or no COVID, the lights are going up in Clara this year and many more years to come.
And on that note, we leave it there. Thanks very much, Mick Gavin.
Appreciate that, Lloyd.
Wow, who would have thought that? Over 3,000 metres of cable around Clara, hanging from shop to shop, and thousands of lights, Christmas trees and decorations. It's a credit to everybody, and thanks to everyone who's donated so far. You can still donate on GoFundMe, and you just look up Clara Christmas Lights. My last guest on the podcast is Frank Walsh, and Frank is PRO with Clara Christmas Lights. Frank, thank you very much for joining me on the podcast this evening.
No problem at all, Lloyd. Delighted to be here. Many thanks for the opportunity to have the chat.
I know you've moved to Clara a number of years ago, from the bright lights of Tullamore over to even brighter lights in Clara.
Absolutely, and ironic that we're talking about lights tonight. Yes, I have been a Clara man, although I don't know whether I can claim that and like pass away here. But as far as I'm concerned, I'm a Clara man, having lived here for the last 8 years.
Brilliant. 8 years, that's long enough. You're an honorary Clara man anyway. So Frank, tell us more about the Christmas lights in Clara and how important it is to Clara.
Well, I suppose from our perspective, Lloyd, I would think that the lights are a visual representation of a sense of community in the town. And I think that's hugely important in any town. And I think given the size, Clara referred to as a little town, it may have a little town, but it has a huge heart. And that huge heart manifests itself in many ways, I suppose. And I would have been first aware of this years ago through the Tops of the Town and through the Musical Society and everything goes on, down through the GEA. celebrating, I suppose, somebody's life when they depart, and the sad times and the funerals when the community comes together, but also the good times and Shane Lowry's arrival back in town. So I think it's that sense of community. It's what it is, the visual representation of the community spirit. And I suppose, from my perspective, community is an interesting word because it contains two letters, you and I. And I think that's a nice way of looking at it in terms of giving something back to the community. And the more than yourself, Lloyd, with the podcast, which enhances the community locally here, but even on an international basis. And I would believe that the Christmas lights are a visual representation of that community spirit alive and well in Clara.
Very good, Frank. That's a good analogy. So for people who haven't been to Clara at Christmas, talk us through what they can expect to see when driving or walking through.
Well, at the present moment of time, the lights extend from Church Street down the main thoroughfare of the town into the square and then on down through River Street and also down from the Credit Union down towards Lundus. And there's a mixture of lights. Some are feature lights attached to the buildings. Some are gable end features that also obviously are attached to the buildings. There are numerous catenary supported rope lights across the street and in some cases running parallel on each side of the street. Additionally, then, I suppose we have the Christmas tree itself and the crib, important part. And there are some additional feature lights around the church area itself. And I suppose, really, it depends. The lights that we can use depend on the buildings and the architecture and the layout and where we can put in points to support the lights themselves and the features. So we're reasonably happy with the extensions that we have, as I said, from Church Street straight down, right down towards Payne's Garage. And of course, we're always looking to the future and seeing where we can extend and what the possibilities might be. Yeah.
So by looking at the lights in numerous years, I assume no business or has refused to put lights on their building. Everybody is in full support of this.
Everybody's in full support of this. And I suppose every year, you know, we have to check in with people. We have to make sure everybody's happy. We have to have our insurance in place. We have to have all the usual features for any community group. And we rely very much on the goodwill of the local community, the local businesses, and the wider community at large to fund the endeavour that we do every year.
Okay, I was speaking to Patricia earlier, and we were talking about the GoFundMe page. It's now nearly at €3,000 from your €5,000 target. That's a stamp of approval, I suppose, from the local people here about the lights. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, local people have been hugely supportive over the past number of years through our traditional book collection. But as I mentioned earlier, I think the sense of community in this town is phenomenal. And although Christmas is a lot about the children, it's also about that Christmas feeling. And I think, you know, there's a sense of being with family at a time around Christmas, a time to reflect on life and where we are. I think the lights act as an enhancement of that feeling. Christmas has arrived in the town, and I suppose the spirit that goes with it. So to have the support of the local community behind it is just fantastic. And as I said, we just couldn't do it without the community.
Yeah, and is there any new additions can we expect this year to keep an eye out for?
Yeah, we will have one or two new additions to the existing lineup every year, I suppose, after running costs have been apportioned. Any remaining finances that we have are invested into repairs and maintenance. And I'm sure Mick has brought you up to speed on that. And after that, we look towards what new features we can add to the existing run of lights. So I said the few small additions this year, we'll have to wait and see exactly what they are on the light up night. One of the most popular additions we had in the last couple of years was the Christmas tree on the old bridge in River Street. And I have to say, kudos must go to Mick, David and the team for their creativity and their manufacturing skills on that one.
Okay, so it is a huge community spirit with down from the committee to the guys putting up the lights. There's always a great reaction when the lights go on in town. I know it's probably going to be a little bit different this year with that dreaded word COVID, but did you know when the big switch is on?
I would love to be able to announce that night, but unfortunately at the moment that's something yet to be decided. I suppose traditionally we would have held a draw for the switch on, but this year being so different, as you mentioned, with COVID, we're not in a position to decide the timing and the manner of the switch on at this stage. It will all depend on what level we're up to with COVID restrictions at that stage. Hopefully we may be in a position to offer a further update on the switch on in due course, but for the moment it's kind of wait and see depending on what happens with the COVID levels. But of course, as usual, we keep people updated via the local newspapers and through the social media channels that we operate.
Okay, so just, I know Patricia has reiterated the GoFundMe page. Do you want to just mention it before we finish up?
Yep, the Clara Christmas Lights GoFundMe page. The easiest way to find it is through our Facebook page, which will take you a direct link. Or alternatively, if you go to Dr. Google, you can just type in Clara Christmas Lights GoFundMe page and it will also bring you directly to the GoFundMe page. it's fantastic. We're super delighted with the reaction we've had, and we're thrilled with the support that we've gotten from the community, not just this year, but in the previous years as well. It's a great community spirit.
Frank, we have a lot of a huge community, I suppose, of Clara expats living all over the world. So can we reach out to them? There's a lot of rich expats out there that might help us out.
Absolutely, Lloyd. We would be delighted with any support we can get. I would hope that maybe when this podcast has been finalised, we'll be able to use this as, a marketing leverage to get the word out there that we are in Clara. We are, you know, your hometown. If you're abroad and if you're in a position to support your hometown, we would be delighted to take whatever you may be able to offer in terms of financial support to keep the Christmas lights going.
There's a lot of people who won't be coming home to Clara this year, unfortunately, so they may be able to send a little bit of cheer in another way.
Absolutely. A little bit of visual cheer for the town, and that never goes astray.
Recently, the Clara Lights Committee got some good news about funds, and here to tell us about that is our councillor, Frank Mourne. Frank, you delivered some good news recently to the Clara Christmas Lights Committee about some extra funding. Can you let our listeners know what that is, please?
Yeah, generally on an annual basis, the Christmas Lights get an allocation of €1,500 from the Tullamore Municipal District through the Community Grant Scheme. And this year, as we all know, with the COVID restrictions, there's not going to be any opportunity for them to do a door-to-door collection. So they were going to be under a financial pressure with regards to the lights, to make sure that the lights, the Clara is lit up as brightly as it always has been for the last few years. So I brought a sort of a proposal to our municipal district meeting on Thursday gone by there, and I sought an additional €2,000 to as a once-off increase from their general allocation. And luckily enough, the members were in agreement with my proposal, and they backed the proposal. So what we will be given the Clara Christmas lights this year is €3,500 to help them in their with their expenses and all that. Look, it has to be said, like the committee that are there, they're doing an absolutely excellent job. And when you see the lights set for the last few years, and indeed years previous, there's a lot of hard work goes in behind the scenes. It's not just a once-off month of November to get them ready for December. It's ongoing all over the year, and the committee put in huge work, even from everybody that out selling tickets or out trying to do door-to-door. Obviously, we're not doing that this year. But the guys that are putting up the lights and all that, it's a very onerous job, and they do it with pride for Clara, because on your podcast, I think the most common thing with everybody is the pride to have it being from Clara and the camaraderie that we have within the town. So it's just a small little gesture from the municipal district to Tullamore, and I was glad to bring it forward to the members and to get their agreements on it.
Very good, and it's very welcome. Obviously, it's so important, like a town like Clara, to keep the lights going, as it creates a nice atmosphere in town, and it shows that Clara is open for business. How important is it, Frank, for people to shop local this year?
Well, this year it's more important than any other year because of the fact that we're within the pandemic, the COVID-19, and like local businesses, even the local businesses with regards to the Christmas lights and any other activity that's going on, they've always been so generous to the committees that are going to them looking for a little bit of funding here and a little bit of funding there. So look, it's about time we sort of, I know online has gone very, very big, but we should shop local, keep it in the locality. I remember signs up in businesses before, going back years and years ago, and it was very apt, and it kept in my mind. It's all, you keep your town in business by keeping your business in town. It's a small little sentence, but it makes an awful lot of difference to those small businesses that are trying to keep afloat.
Frank, do you think it would be a good idea for businesses in Clara to come together and have maybe, a traders union or something like that for the town to come together and see, can they have more power to lobby councillors like yourself?
It's an excellent idea. Now, I know it was mooted a couple of years ago and there was a little bit of a get-together, but it hasn't really materialised. But it would be ideal, sort of a mini chamber of commerce, if you'd like to call it that. But they would have lobbying powers then to obviously lobby their two local councillors and their local TD that we're in there to advocate on behalf of the people that actually put us there, which would be the Clara people and the surrounding areas. And it's our job to get whatever we can for the town. And we always do that. We forget about party politics when we're going in, sitting at the table, and it's all what we're advocating is for Clara and our surrounding areas within the municipal district. So it's important that any avenue that can be explored, and I say mini chamber of commerce, maybe one representative from each of the businesses or each section of business would be a great stepping stone, and believe it or not, the powers that they would have for not just lobbying the councillors, but the council and other state agencies, whereas we can get, like, I'd love to see a foreign direct investment come into Clare through the IDA. Now, the IDA were talking to us at our last council meeting, and the connection was that bad. We asked for, I actually proposed that the meeting be postponed to come back. So, like, there's plenty of buildings and there's plenty of opportunity. Clara has huge opportunities, and I'd like to just see it developed. And any little bit of help by means of different organisations would go a long way to achieving much greatness for the town of Clara.
Frank, just while I have you on that, I know the very first podcast I did was with some businesses from Clara, and their issue surrounding the parking in Clara was a big issue. Do you see any of these issues being dealt with in the near future by the County Council?
There was a decision made there, Lloyd, not last year's budget, the year before, with regards to the local property tax. It was increased by 15%. And the idea is that all that money to be ring-fenced for specific projects. So what the yield will be, it'll be 3.7 million to the council. But when you get matching funding and all that, it's going to be worth 18 million. Now, it's 18 million, not just for the capital towns of Offaly. It's 18 million for the whole county of Offaly. And the ratepayers, local property taxpayers, are within all the little small towns and villages. So I will be advocating for Clara. We've bought the, the council have bought the priest house, so there's plenty of opportunities there that we're going to amalgamate the three schools, i.e. a brand new vocational school over there. But then there's other opportunities we have looked at, and I have brought engineers out to different sites in the town for parking. Parking is a big issue, okay. The public realm, it's great, but I think, the off-street parking we have at the moment is the priest's is the churchyard for about maybe 30 vehicles, and it's not good enough. So we do need other parking opportunities, and we're in negotiation with private individuals, and that obviously I can't name people or locations over the podcast, but we are looking into it, and parking has been an issue that has come up on several occasions, and the director of services along with the chief executive are aware that Clara needs parking.
Frank Moran, thanks for joining me on the podcast. We will get to you again about lots of other issues, but for now it's good news for the Clara Christmas Lights Committee.
It is, and look at the idea of it, Elijah, podcast. I must say, I keep in contact with them and listen to them every week, and it's just absolutely brilliant. And it's more so brilliant for the diaspora around the world. Like, I see the comments coming in from people from America, from Australia, from all different avenues all over the place. And the stories that are being told from the different characters are absolutely brilliant. So you, for what you're doing for the Clara people, keep up the good work, and I know you will continue to do it for as long as you can.
Good man, Frank Moran. Thanks a million.
All right, Lloyd. Thank you. Bye-bye.
That's it, everybody. Hope you got lots of information there about the Clara Christmas lights and where all the money goes and what it takes just to get it up and running. It's an absolute credit to the committee, the hard work to put in and all the guys and girls putting up the lights. Don't forget, please check out GoFundMe and click in Clara Christmas Lights Fund and donate what you can, because it will help light up Clara. It's been a dark year, and let's brighten it up a bit. Just a couple of requests to get through before we finish off. I'd like to say a very happy birthday to Roisin Corney. She's 10 years old and she's a great girl. It comes in from her mammy and daddy, and she had a great party over the weekend. Also, can you say a big shout out to my brother and sister-in-law living in England? It will be their 5th wedding anniversary on the 2nd of December. Mike and Cherise Hogan, wishes from Breda, Ger, Mary, and all in Raheen in Clara. She can't celebrate because of their lockdown, it says here, but they'll find a way, I'm sure. If you'd like to have a request played on the podcast, you can email me at littletownmed@gmail.com, or you can private message me on Facebook, Little Town Media page. Also, if you'd like to advertise on the podcast, we'll try and help you out as best we can. Get in touch. I'm going to leave you with a great song, a Christmas song. It's called Spaceman, and it's from Nolene Meehan. Take it away, Nolene.
Ship from afar. 'Twas light years of time since his mission did start, and over a village he hauled. just like a star. He followed a light and came down to a shed where mother and child were lying there on a bed. A bright light of silver shone round his head, and he had the face of an angel. And they were afraid. Then a stranger spoke. He said, "Do not fear. I come from a planet a long way from here, and I bring a message for mankind to hear." Suddenly the sweetest music filled the air, and it went la 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 la. This lovely music went trembling to the ground, and many were wakened on hearing that sound. And travelers on the road, a village they found by the light of that ship in the sky. It shone all night. Just before the dawn, at the paling of the sky, the stranger returned and said, "Now I must fly. When 2,000 years of your time has gone by, the song will begin once again to a baby's cry."
Podcast is sponsored by DW Plumbing and Heating, a locally based plumbing and heating company with over 15 years experience servicing the Midlands area. Experts in fault finding with both oil and gas heating, specialising in complete bathroom refurbishments and MCZ wood pellet stoves. Find us on Facebook or call Dean on 086 3700 600.
You just listened to What's the Story with Lloyd Bracken. Check out all our social channels for info on new episodes. Oh, and thanks for listening. On the Town.